to have Dr. Marilyn Neubauer here with us tonight. Praise God. We're going to unleash her upon you now. Amen. So let's give a warm family church welcome to Dr. Marilyn Neubauer.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we truly thank you that you have kissed us with your presence here tonight. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, as Pastor had already prayed, for the Holy Spirit saturating this place tonight, teaching us and revealing your truth to us tonight. Lord, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you, Father God, for you alone are worthy. You alone are worthy to be praised, to receive glory and honor. Oh, Lord God, how excellent is your name in all the earth, for your glory is above the heavens. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, I am so honored to be here, and thank pastors again for inviting me to come. And we're going to have church tonight, yeah. And we're going to have a good time tonight, yeah. And there's a healer in the house tonight. Yeah. He's here because we're here. Yeah. Amen. You know, I've always said that healing is the dinner bell, yeah, to salvation. Amen. I could talk forever just telling you about all the different healing testimonies we've seen and experienced about through the faithfulness of God, but there's one that just really stands out to me. Last year, I think it was 2 years ago actually, I was preaching in Slovakia, and I was doing a healing seminar, and the lady of the church had invited her cousin to attend the service. He was not saved, he didn't want to come, but he finally showed up at the last night, and he was very sick with cancer. And so I had ministered, and then I gave an invitation for salvation, and he was not in the salvation line, but I didn't know anything about him. But when I had an invitation for healing, he came up in the healing line. But I knew by the Spirit of God he wasn't saved. And so I said, "Sir, have you ever asked the Lord into your life?" And, "No, I have not." I said, "Would you like to do that tonight?" Yeah. "No, I would not," he said. So moving right along, I said, "And so what exactly is it that you do want tonight?" "Well, I want this pain in my body to go away. I want God to heal me, and that's all I want. I don't want any of that other stuff. I only want God to heal me." And I said, "Well, sir, God loves you so much, and he wants you healed even more than you want to be healed. And I'm going to pray for you." Yes. So I prayed for him and then went on down the line and prayed for everybody else. And the next morning I was to fly to another country. And I called the pastor. I said, "Pastor, before you come and get me, is there any way that we could go see that gentleman? Because he has to receive salvation." Yes. You see, salvation is the greatest miracle of all. Yes. When your spirit is changed and transformed and comes alive to the Spirit of God, there's no miracle that surpasses that one. And the pastor said, "Yes, we can go see him. But before you called, his cousin called. And he had already called her and said, 'I got healed last night. There's no pain in my body. I know your God healed me.'" And so he was quite surprised when we came to his house. And I said, "Do you remember what I told you, that God loves you?" And he said, "I remember, but now I know." Yeah. And then he gave his heart to the Lord. God. Healing is the dinner bell to salvation. And last month I was overseas again, on the Wednesday night service, a young boy, 10 years old, he came up to me in the prayer line, and he wanted to know if I'd pray for him. There was something wrong with his eyes. I didn't quite understand what it was, but it was something that was incurable, and the doctors were not going to be able to help him any longer. And so I prayed for him for restoration and healing in his eyes. Then the next evening, Thursday night, during the prayer time, I had an invitation for salvation, and a teenage girl came up in the healing line, or in the salvation line. And after she received salvation, she said, "Can I give a testimony?" I said, "Well, sure, you know." So she said, "Well, last night, you prayed for my 10-year-old brother. And after he got home, he's getting ready to go to bed. And all of a sudden, he said, 'Mama, Mama, I can see better. I can see better. Hallelujah. And that touched her heart so much, she came Thursday night to get born again.
Yeah.
Isn't it wonderful? I mean, it's just the goodness of God that draws men unto salvation. And that is the greatest healing miracle you could ever have. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I just have a few tools for you on the back book table. Tools that help you to grow. One of my books that I've written is very, very popular. It's called Instructions from the Great Physician. How many of you know it's important to follow instructions?
Yeah.
You know, it says in Proverbs 4:13, take fast hold of my instructions because they are life. You know, you buy new equipment maybe for your computer or something at home or maybe a new gadget for your car, and you're going to read the instructions. Well, God has instructions. You know, last year I was preaching in Switzerland also, and this lady wanted healing, but all she wanted was poof. I said, poof, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. He's not going to just poof, and you're going to be healed.
Yeah.
You're going to have to understand the Word of God, and you're going to have to apply the Word of God for your life. And she did not want to do that. But you've got to follow God's instructions. In this little book, it talks about how to take God's medicine, guarding your heart. It talks about the dosage. You need to know how much medicine should I take.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people if you're sick, you're really going through something, you can take God's medicine every hour on the hour. You know, you need to get serious. And one thing about God's medicine, different than man's medicine, no negative side effects.
Yeah.
Don't you love it?
Yeah.
There's no, that's why you couldn't even begin to overdose if you wanted to.
Right.
You know? So, and then having bulldog tenacity. See, you've got to have a fighting spirit. I'll tell you one thing. Wimpy people don't win.
Oh,
wimpy people don't win. You've got to have that bulldog tenacity.
Yeah,
absolutely refuse to be defeated. I will not quit, and I will not be defeated. Amen.
Right.
So anyway, it's a powerful little book, and then there's healing scriptures in the back, and there's always a salvation prayer in the back. Tonight I'm going to talk to you, the title of my message is, How Can I Say I'm Healed When My Body Says I'm Sick? People ask me that all the time. Well, I'm confessing the word, but how can I say I'm healed when my body says I'm sick? So it's actually available on a DVD because you're going to see tonight we're going to use some visual aids. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
But a picture is worth a thousand words.
Yeah.
Amen. Another item that I have that's really popular, it's a shower card. You hang this in the shower. And it's laminated, so it endures the water. And I wrote it large enough, hopefully, that you can read it without your glasses because I know you don't wear your glasses in the shower. But there's scriptures on both sides. One's for health. The other is for wealth. Because those are the two areas where the devil will attack you the most to keep you from doing kingdom business.
Yeah.
The blessings of the Lord makes rich. I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out.
Yeah.
I'm above and up beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the lender and not the borrower. I bring my tithes into the storehouse and the windows of heaven are open to me and the Lord rebukes the devourer. I'm furnished in abundance for every good work and donation. Every seed I sow is returned to me multiplied. I'm highly favored of the Lord. The work of my hands prosper, and I have creative ideas.
Yeah.
What a way to start the day. For health, by his stripes I'm healed. I'm healed of all diseases. I'm strong and healthy. I decree in Jesus' name. I'm free of migraine headaches. I have a good memory. And that means you don't participate in senior moments. My vision is sharp and clear. My hearing is restored. My joints are pain-free. I'm delivered from arthritis. My immune system is healthy. My cholesterol count is normal. Organs, you function properly. Body, you are healed and whole in Jesus' name. You know, the Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Don't wait to the end of the day to light your path. I mean, if you got this in the shower, there's no excuse for not having taking God's medicine first thing in the morning. Amen. Hallelujah. One last thing. This is a new addition to one of my books. It's called My Daily Delight in the Lord. And the new chapter that I added is just on how do you delight in the Lord and setting priorities. And you know, in the natural, you can have clogged arteries in your heart. Well, so it is spiritually. You can have a spiritual clogged artery. Fear, doubt, sure. unbelief, yes. those clog the arteries in your spiritual
That's
heart.
Right.
So
right.
we talk about unclogging those arteries. And then there's scriptures in here for we're created to worship. I love to do my praise and worship scriptures before I ever start making my faith confessions, because, man, that takes you to another level.
Yeah.
You have entered into that secret place,
praise
and, boy,
God.
You're ready to go.
Amen.
Amen. And then there's scriptures in here for finances, for healing. But there's one scripture, well, I love them all, but this one says, the Spirit of truth lives in me and guides me.
Amen.
Therefore, I have wisdom in every situation I encounter today.
Yes.
And for such a time as this, if we ever needed to know that we have the wisdom of God,
yes.
you need to know it now.
Yes.
I was telling pastors, when I'm home in San Diego, I'm a volunteer chaplain for the police department. And my job is to ride in the police cars and with the officers, and I have to wear a bulletproof vest. I look like the Hulk. But I have to wear that vest. And one time I was riding with a Christian police officer, and we just really connected. And the more we talked about the Lord that night, the more quiet the evening got. I think we only had 3-4 calls at the most. We just talked about the Lord, and I was telling him, I said, you know, your job is very dangerous, and you need to understand how to listen to the Holy Spirit. Yes, he's your helper, he's your guide, he's going to tell you, don't do this, don't do that. Yes, you learn things at the academy, but what you learn up here and what you know down here is totally different. So you've got inside information down here. You know things, you hear things that the devil doesn't know, that the devil doesn't see. So you need to be fresh. You need to be in tune. And so I was teaching him about that, and he was just drawing on this. He never heard that before. And so he wanted to know about Bible school. And he was only 26 years old, and they had just had their first child, and he was a rookie just out of the academy just a few months. And I said, well, maybe you ought to consider just going to a correspondence school. Don't just pack up and everything. You just had a baby. You just got out of the academy. Maybe correspondence school would be good. He said, oh, I like that idea. I said, well, I'll bring you some information about correspondence school. So the next morning in my devotion time, the Holy Spirit said, don't go today. I thought, oh, I was going to give him all that information. I can't imagine why you wouldn't want me to go. See, we don't lean on our own understanding.
Right.
I said, but Lord, if you don't want me to go, I'll just give it to him another time. And then I got busy working in my office, and I thought, oh, it's 3:00. I've got to get my vest on, get to the police department. And the Holy Spirit said, remember, I said, don't go. See, he reminded me, because I wasn't rebelling. I just forgot.
Yeah.
He said, remember, I said, don't go. And that was at 3:00. 5 minutes after 5, that police officer was shot and murdered. Multiple times he was shot. And the sergeant said, Marilyn, I need to know exactly what would you have done had you been in the car. I said, well, first of all, I know to call for backup. Yes. Secondly, what would you have done? I said, secondly, because I don't do anything with a weapon, I'd have crawled on the floor of that police car. And he said, in that case, the car would have been your coffin. Because, you see, after he murdered the police officer, he got in and stole the car. And there's a loaded rifle right there on the front seat. And with the adrenaline, you know how high that adrenaline was running. Thank the Lord that the Spirit of truth lived in me and guides me and told me, don't go today. I mean, I was so crushed that police officer was killed. But he did know the Lord. But you know, you don't learn how to follow the Spirit instantly. It is not something that you learn overnight. You have to take time to spend time with the Lord so that you learn his voice, that you have to recognize his voice. But he's there to help you, to guide you. And so we just need to understand those things. Amen. One last thing, if you ever want to be in partnership with our ministry, there's a card in the back you can fill out. Can I just hand this to you right now? Thank you. So, praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So those are just some tools that will help you to grow and get strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen.
Amen.
So, I never talk against doctors, and I don't talk against medicine, because God uses doctors.
Yes, yes.
God uses medicine.
That's right.
If you ever need a miracle and you don't get it within a reasonable period of time, it is not a lack of faith to go to the doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't let people put you in condemnation. Matter of fact, I tell people, you know, you don't have to tell everybody everything. You're going to go to the doctor and you don't know somebody's going to connect with you, you don't have to tell them. Don't tell people that can pull you down. You just do what you need to do and know that God's going to be God and you can be you. You know, as I travel around the world, I say, Lord, I'll be me and you be you. Together, we can do this. Amen. I'll be me and you be you. And together, we'll make a dynamic explosion. So you just have to understand those things. But how can I say I'm healed when my body says I'm sick? Because it is written. Because it is written. And in Luke 18:27, it says, the things that are impossible with God is possible. Or the things that are impossible with man is possible with God. Yes. Or we could say, the things that are impossible with the doctor is possible with God.
Right.
Just like we were singing, all things are possible. There's no hopeless situation with God. So see, you need to see yourself as the Word of God says you are. You have to see yourself as the Word says you are. You know, I grew up in church. I've been in church since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. That's how we used to say it back in Nebraska. Knee-high to a grasshopper. And my brothers and I, at the end of several years, we got a pin for perfect attendance. We just never missed Sunday school. And we had to go to church, too. We never missed. I mean, getting that pin, I was just so proud of my pin for perfect attendance. And having been in the church for 28 years, I never heard one testimony about healing. I never heard one teaching on healing.
Wow.
We didn't even have altar calls for anything.
Wow.
But there were two things that got engrafted on the inside of me. Psalm 73:1 says, truly, God is good.
Yeah.
And I just grabbed hold of that, that God is a good God, and He is good to me. He is a good God.
Yes.
And then 1 John 4:8 says, God is love.
Yeah.
Love isn't something God possesses. That's who He is.
Yeah.
He is love. And I grabbed a hold of it. I thought, God is a good God, and God loves me personally.
Yes.
And I am so grateful that I got engrafted into that truth of God's Word as a young child. And at the age of 28, I became very sick with cancer. I had a very rare kind of cancer, cancer of the appendix. I was told I was approximately the eighth person in the entire United States to be recorded of that kind of cancer. And not only is it rare, but it's also very difficult for the doctors to recognize that kind of cancer. So I'd been sick about 4 or 5 months, just getting worse and worse, and just going downhill, and the doctor said, Marilyn, we don't know what's wrong with you, but we're going to have to put you back in the hospital. And this time, we're going to do exploratory surgery, and perhaps we'll find the problem. So I got to the hospital, and about an hour after I got there, the nurse came in to prep me for the operation. Now, because they did not know what was wrong with me, they gave me a wrong procedure. And that procedure caused my appendix to begin to rupture. It was about a moment after she gave me that procedure, she left the room, and it felt like there was a volcano about to erupt on the inside of me. It was painful. I felt very sick. I felt very nauseated. And I thought, I need to get into the restroom. I got out of bed and I could hardly walk. I'm holding on to the side of the bed, the side of the wall. I finally managed to get into the restroom. And when I got in there, I saw something that grabbed my attention. A little red button on the side of the wall. And it said, emergency button. And I thought, I need to hit that button. Because I realized at that point something was truly, seriously wrong. And I reached out to touch the button, and God, in all of His love, all of His goodness, all of His grace, all of His mercy, all of Him intervened in my life. I went to touch the button, and my finger bounced away. And I thought, now what was that? So I reached out a second time to hit the button, and a second time, my finger bounced away. It was like boing, boing. I thought, what is that? I need to hit the button.
Yeah.
So I took my whole hand, and I thought, I will hit the button. And I took my whole hand, And all of a sudden, I could feel that there was a wall between my hand and that button. I couldn't get beyond that wall. And I thought to myself, I can feel a wall, but I can't see it. And that does not compute. I don't compute with invisible things, and neither do you. And I don't understand that. And as soon as I had that thought, I heard the voice of the Lord speak to me. He spoke three times. The first thing he said was, your time is up. Under your present condition, you are destined to die. Now that's a strong report when it's coming from God. And I'm only 28 years old, and I have two little children at home. But praise God, he didn't stop speaking. He spoke a second time. He said, your life has been removed from the hands of mankind. Your condition is now beyond the help of the medical profession. And that was because of that wrong procedure. Now it's too late for the operation. And then he spoke the third time, and it was the most beautiful of all, because he began to quote from the Gospel of John, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the way, and through me, you can change your destiny. You don't have to die. And I said, God, I have read that scripture so many times, and I always thought you were talking about spiritual salvation only. Yeah. And I said, Lord, I know the day I got born again. I know I'm saved. So you must be talking about a physical salvation, like healing. Yeah. I said, Lord, I don't know one thing about healing, but I do know that you are good. Yeah. And I do know that you love me. And if you are telling me that you have a healing for me, I receive it. Yeah. Now, I want to interrupt my testimony to tell you something really, really important. Because God is love. If you can receive his love, it talks about it in Ephesians 3:16 that you would be rooted and grounded in his love, and to know, not know it up here, but know in here, you know that you know that you know that he loves you, then you are underneath the umbrella of his love. Yeah. And anything and everything else you need is underneath the umbrella. So if you can receive love, you can receive anything else, because love is who he is. Everything else is what he has given for you. And secondly, it was so easy for me to respond to God like I did, because I had always taken time as a child to take time to spend time with him. If you don't take time to spend time with him every day, and because he loves you so much, and if you never ever face, if you face a critical moment, a crisis in your life, you can be sure he's going to speak to you because he loves you. Yes. But if you haven't spent time with him, guess what? You won't recognize his voice. Right. Matter of fact, it'd be very easy for you to talk yourself right out of it. Was that God speaking to me? Oh, no, God wouldn't speak to me like that. Well, sure he will.
Yes, he will. Yeah.
Because he's your heavenly Father.
Amen.
He knows you best and loves you most.
Yes, that's
he
right.
is going to speak to you.
Yeah.
But if you haven't taken time to spend time,
like
there's many of you here, if you were to call me on the phone today or tomorrow, where were you sitting? What did you have on? And have we ever met? I wouldn't recognize your voice because I haven't spent time with you.
Right, right.
But when you spend time with your best friend, they don't call you up and tell you who they are. They don't have to introduce themselves.
Right.
Well, God's not going to say, now this is God speaking to you. Have you ever met me before? You
know? Yeah, right.
No, so
right.
You need to spend time with him.
That's right. Amen.
And so it was so easy for me to say, God, if you have a healing for me, I take it. And having no knowledge, I didn't know for sure how you receive a miracle of healing. I didn't know the first thing. And I mean, my knowledge of healing was literally zero. Zero. And it just seemed at that moment that my pain magnified. And fear wanted to grip me. But I didn't want to give place to the fear. I only wanted to give place to his love. And the pain was so bad, I took my left hand and I grabbed my stomach. And I took my right hand and I reached out to hold on to the support bar on the side of the restroom wall. And everything within me, I cried out to God. And I said, God, help me, help me, help me. And at that moment, the scripture in Isaiah 41:13 came alive. It says, for I, the Lord your God, will take hold of your right hand. Fear not, I will help you.
Praise
what
God.
An awesome, hallelujah. Beautiful scripture.
Hallelujah.
Fear not, I will help you. And at that moment, I literally felt Jesus take hold of my right hand. I looked over at my hand. I could not see him, but I could feel his fingers and I could feel his thumb, and he squeezed my hand. And it was so gentle, but at the same time, there was so much authority in that touch. And I began to sense agape love like I've never experienced in my entire life. And I knew it wasn't just his love for me, but it was his love for all humanity. And then I began to experience heat. Heat was coming out of his hand into my hand. And then that heat began to rise up my arm. It's almost like I could look at it like mercury in a thermometer. I'm looking at my hand, and pretty soon that heat's going up and higher and higher and higher. And the best way I can describe it, when that heat reached my shoulder, the motion of lift continued. And the Lord lifted my spirit out of my body. And it was the most glorious experience of my entire life. And when I was so aware that I was in his presence and that I had been removed from all the distraction of the flesh. I was in oneness with him. It was glorious. And he began to teach me some things about heaven, some things about many things about healing, which is what I'm going to share with you tonight. And I'm going to be using some visual aids to show you and to help you comprehend what the Lord taught me. I don't know how long I was in that state, but when Jesus let go of my hand, I was instantly, Pastor, instantly back in my body. And I touched all around my stomach and I said, I'm healed. I am healed. There was no pain. I didn't know what I was healed of yet. I just knew I'd been touched by God.
Hallelujah.
And I was healed. And all I wanted to do was go back to my bed and worship and embrace what had just happened to me. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to come down into the natural arena. I just wanted to embrace. It was about an hour or so later, an orderly came to take me down to the operating room, and of course I didn't say anything because I didn't know how to explain a healing or a miracle or anything, so I didn't say anything. Next thing I knew, I was back in recovery, and the doctor came in and he said, Marilyn, something must have happened to you before the operation. He said, because when I went in to do the surgery, I found cancer, but the cancer was not attached to you. I saw it, and I just picked it up, and I took it out. I didn't have to cut anything because it wasn't attached to you. Therefore, you don't need any chemotherapy. You don't need any radiation. He said, this was a miracle. He said, because, and he admitted, he said, the wrong procedure that we gave you, it should have caused your appendix to rupture. If that would have happened, that malignancy would have spread throughout your entire body and it would have killed you.
Wow.
There would have been nothing we could have done for you. He kept saying something must have happened. I think at one point he tried to say someone, but he just kept saying something, something, something happened to you.
Yeah.
And later, when I was all alone in my room, it was so precious because the Bible says that the Lord knows us by our name.
Yeah.
And I heard the Lord say, Marilyn, when I was holding your hand, I was also holding back your appendix from rupturing so the doctor could go in and remove the cancer in its entirety because I wanted you to know exactly what I did for you.
Hallelujah.
God is good, and God is love, and He is not a respecter of persons. Amen. And there's a healer in the house tonight. If you need healing, you can receive just in your seat by just receiving love. Just receiving His love. Now, I've asked four gentlemen to help me. Right now, I just need three of those gentlemen. So if those three gentlemen could come up and help me, that would be great. Hallelujah. I'll have the three of you stand over here. Hallelujah. We're going to have fun tonight. Amen. And I just want to tell you in advance, I'm going to promote you before the evening's over, so bear with me when I show you these visual aids. The first thing the Lord taught me was I was a spirit. I had never been taught anything about spirit, soul, and body. I actually saw my spirit. It was awesome. And I realized, and I'm going to let you be my spirit, and I'm going to let you be my soul, and you can be my soul. And I have them attached because whether you make your bed in heaven or hell, your spirit and soul will always be together.
Right.
And I realized that my spirit is the part of me that is born again, that it's my spirit that has been transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, that it's my spirit that worships the Lord. It's my spirit that says, Lord, I love you. It's my spirit. And then I realize that it's my soul that has to be renewed to the Word of God every single day. You have to renew your soul daily. And you've heard Pastor Nancy say this, Nancy Dufresne. We've heard Brother Hagin say it many, many times. It's like combing your hair. You have to do it every day. You have to renew your mind every day, just like you have to comb your hair and brush your teeth.
Yeah, that's right. That's
every
right.
day. And then the Lord, He let me look down into my hospital room, and I actually saw my body. I saw my hand wrapped around my stomach, and I looked at my body in that hospital room, and then I looked back at me. It was awesome. And I looked at my body, and then I looked back at me. And then I realized, that's a house that I live in. And I witnessed the suffering of that house. I could feel no pain because I had left the house. I'm going to let you be, you're my house. We kind of look alike, so. Sorry. But I'm going to promote you guys later.
Sounds good.
Don't the guys look nice holding those illustrations? I like to use the guys for this. Sorry, but you will be promoted. You'll be so happy. You'll be so happy. But I realize that it's my spirit and soul live in this house. This body is simply the house that we live in. Now, not every person will have an out-of-the-house experience. But every one of you here tonight, you live in a house something like this. Might be single-story, might be two-story, but you live in a house. And you're not there right now. You are in this church. So we could say that you are having an out-of-the-house experience. And because you're out of your house, you don't know what's happening in your house. You don't know if maybe the light bulb just burned out. You don't know if the cat just jumped on the table. You don't know if somebody's knocking on the door, peeking in the window, God forbid. You don't know what's happening in your house because you are not in the house. But God forbid, if you go home tonight and you pull up into your driveway and you see that your house is on fire, you would witness the destruction of your house. But you wouldn't be burned because you're not in the house.
Right.
But supposing it was 2 o'clock in the morning and you were asleep, but then you woke up because it was getting hot in the house and you started smelling smoke, and you open the bedroom door and you find that your house is a blaze of fire, you will feel the effects of that fire.
Right.
Why? Because you are in the house. Your spirit, the real you, you are a spirit. You have a soul, a mind, emotions, and a free choice.
Yeah.
Your spirit and your soul live in this house 24/7.
That's right, exactly.
Every time something happens to this house, you'll know it.
Yeah, that's good.
If this house is burning up with fever, you will know it.
Yeah.
If this house is in pain because of a cancer, or there's a tumor eating away at you, or you're being irritated with allergies, you're going to know it because you are in that house 24/7. Now, this house has an exterior. It has a roof, doors, windows. A lot of things make up the exterior of this house. But it also has an interior. It has a ceiling, floor, electrical wiring, plumbing. All kinds of things make up the inside of the house. Well, this house has an outside. Hair, nose, eyes, skin, all kinds of things make up the outside of this house. But this house also has an inside. It has a heart, liver, kidneys, spleen. All kinds of organs make up the inside of this house. But this is only the house that you live in. So it's very important. Are we on the same page?
Yeah.
That you understand that you are a spirit. You have a soul, and together you live in this house. Amen. I'm going to call you back later. Thank you, gentlemen, for volunteering like that. So nice. Now, I want you to open your Bibles to Romans. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, don't you love the Word of God?
Yes.
Romans chapter 8. It says in verse 1 that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but who walk after the Spirit.
Yeah.
Now in verse 5, it says, for they that are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. I want to read it out of the NIV. For those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. The five senses, what they hear, see, feel, taste, or touch. They're motivated by that. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit.
Yes.
To be carnally minded is death, or we could say defeat. You know, see, there's so many Christians saved, filled, and defeated. We're supposed to be saved, filled, and triumphant.
That's right. Amen.
Don't be saved, filled, and defeated.
That's right.
Be saved, filled, and triumphant. For those who govern their mind according to the Spirit, life, peace, healing, wholeness, prosperity, everything that God has provided for us. But we have to be spiritually minded because we are a spirit being. It's absolutely critical if you're going to be saved, filled, and victorious that you be spirit-minded. How can I say I'm healed when my body says I'm sick? Because it is written.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking according to the things of the Spirit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be, I don't make my decision on what my body says.
That's good.
My body says I'm sick, but I'd say I'm not sick.
That's
I say
awesome.
I'm healed because I am spirit-minded.
Yeah, that's right.
Now look at Revelations chapter 12. Revelations chapter 12, verse 11, and this is the saints of God overcoming the work of the devil. And they overcame him, number one, by the blood of the Lamb. And what is the very next word, and? It does not say or. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That tells me I have some responsibility.
There we go. Oh, yes.
Catherine Kuhlman once said, the only limit to the power of God lies within the individual.
That's right.
See, God has chosen to use human cooperation in the execution of his divine plan and purpose for our lives. It took human cooperation for you to get born again.
Yes.
It takes human cooperation for you to bring your tithes into the storehouse if you want the windows of heaven to be opened.
Yes, right.
It's going to take human cooperation to take God's medicine if you want to receive healing.
That's
amen.
Right.
It
That's
takes
right.
human cooperation.
Yeah.
Now look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. in verse 13 is what we talked about earlier, to take fast hold of instructions. Don't let her go because she is your life. But in verse 20, it says, my son, attend to my words. That means you have to pay attention. It's not just hearing. I mean, you can be sitting across the table from somebody. You can hear them talking, but you're not listening. Happens a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But God is saying, don't let what I say go in one ear and out the other. He said, pay attention to what I am saying. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, but keep them in the middle of your heart. Why? Because my words are life to those that find them, and health, or the original translation says, my words are medicine to all your flesh.
Yeah.
Now, to me, that only makes sense. God created this human body. He made every organ, every tissue, every cell. He made the inside, the outside. He created it. And he knew that in the fall, Adam and Eve were going to sin, and it was going to cause this house to be subject to sickness and disease. And because of his magnitude, unconditioning, never-ending love for his children, he said, they're going to need some medicine. So I'm going to give them some. Now, he could have chose, maybe I'm going to just tell them to stand under a lantern and twirl around three times, and that would heal them. He could have. But he said, no, I think I'm going to use my word.
Yeah.
So he chose, and that's his prerogative. He said, my word will be their medicine.
Hallelujah.
Then doesn't it make sense? Because he loves us. Of course he's going to give us medicine, because he knew now the body is subject to sickness and disease, so I'm going to have to do something else here. It only makes sense to me.
Yeah,
but what is his medicine? Well, Isaiah 53:5, that by his stripes I'm healed.
Yeah.
Isaiah 54:17, that my health is 58:8, that my health is restored speedily. 54:17, no weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon of sickness or disease formed against me. It can be formed, but it doesn't have to prosper.
That's right.
That I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord.
Yeah.
Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases.
Yeah.
That's his medicine. And you need to know that by like the back of your hand.
Yeah, that's right.
Know the medicine that you're taking. I'm telling you, people know more about natural medicine. I haven't even heard of some of these things. I don't take medicine.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm just saying, that's where I'm at,
yeah, right.
You know. But you need to understand this medicine works.
Yes, it works.
Doctors treat, but Jesus is the healer.
Yeah.
He is the healer.
Right.
So you need to understand his medicine. So when you go to the doctor, and when he says attend to my words, that's his report. When you go to a doctor, you get a doctor's report. When you come to the great physician, you get his report. Whose report are you going to believe? Don't just let that be a song. This is the report that I choose to believe. There's always going to be two reports, and you have a choice which one you're going to believe. Now, God's word was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So when you come into agreement with God's word, you're coming into agreement with the Holy Spirit. Now, where does the Holy Spirit live? Right on the inside of us. So the Holy Spirit represents the anointing of God. So we could say that the anointing of God lives on the inside of us. Or more simple terms, the anointing represents the power of God, the Almighty God, the King of the universe. We could say that power lives on the inside of us. That's awesome. You need to get a revelation of that. The God that paints the sunset. The one that puts the stars in place. The one that puts the beauty in the wing of a butterfly. The aroma in the rose. That power that did that lives on the inside of you and me. How awesome, awesome, awesome is that? But that power is not automatically activated.
That's right.
It needs an activator.
What
is the activator? The words of your testimony.
There you go.
Just like there's power, there's electrical power in this building.
Oh, yeah.
But when someone came in today, they turned the switch on.
Yeah.
And when they leave, they will turn the switch off, but they're not going to disconnect the power.
That's right.
See, there's power in here. Is yours on or is it off?
Come on.
And when it's on, don't ever, ever turn it off.
That's right.
This switch, I mean, sometimes I never turn my computer off for days, you know.
Right.
This power, you need to leave it on.
Yes, leave it
all
on.
The time, leave the power on.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. You've got to, because it's not automatically activated. We'll go back to Romans. I love this scripture in Romans 8, in verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by His Spirit that dwells in you. That was the greatest demonstration of the power of God when He reached all the way down to the pit of hell and raised Jesus from the dead.
Yeah.
And that power, that burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God lives in us.
Yes.
Awesome, awesome.
Yes.
I mean, if you're spirit-minded, you think, wow, how can I ever be defeated?
Yes.
When
right.
you understand the power that lives on the inside of you.
Amen.
Now, we know that bombs are very powerful. If someone were to send a bomb off and destroy this stand here, this music stand, it not only would destroy the stand, but it would destroy the whole platform. It would destroy everything around it.
Yeah.
But God's power is more powerful. That bomb can't even reach hell. The atomic bomb can't reach hell.
Right.
But the power that's in you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could reach hell.
That's right.
Wow. And one thing about the power of God, it can zero in on a malignant tumor and destroy all that cancer cell and never harm any tissue around it.
That's right.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
That's the power that lives on the inside
Amen.
Of you and me. And we activate it with the words of our testimony. Now I want to talk a few moments about truth and facts. Jesus gives us truth. The doctors give you facts.
Right.
If you're spirit-minded, you're going to focus on truth. If you're carnally-minded, you're going to focus on the facts. Truth versus the facts. Jesus says in John 17, 17, my words are truth.
Yes.
My words are truth. The things that are possible for you and I is solely based upon our capacity to believe truth. Not just believing that God exists, but believing truth. You must believe truth. How can I say I'm healed when my body says I'm sick?
Yeah.
Because truth says I am healed.
Amen.
And that settles it. The word is enough. It has
yes,
to be
it
enough
is.
For you. There's
true.
Absolutely no hopeless situation with God.
Right.
Zero.
That's
zero.
Right.
No hopeless situation. Go to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, this is Jesus speaking. He says, you shall know, verse 32, John 8, 32. You shall know the facts, and the facts will set you free. Oops, nope.
No, 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 no.
You shall know the what?
The truth.
The truth. The truth will set you free.
Glory to God.
Not the facts.
Amen.
See, so many people educate themselves on the facts far more than they educate themselves
on
truth. So many people today, they get a negative report. The first thing they do, they're on the internet or they're going to the library researching facts.
Come on now.
Don't do that.
Don't do it.
All that does is open the window for more fear.
That's right.
And fear is the enemy of your faith.
You're preaching real
I'm
truth.
Not preaching anything against facts, but I'm just telling you,
yeah.
if you're not a doctor, and you don't need to know the facts. Sometimes
yeah.
people say, Doc, what's the bottom line? This is the bottom line.
That's the bottom line.
This is the bottom line.
Amen.
We don't ignore the doctor, again, and
right.
we don't ignore the medicine, but this is where you have to put your faith.
Right.
Amen.
So
you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Amen.
So you have to guard your heart when those fearful thoughts come. You have to understand that truth will set me free. Now look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I use lots of scripture.
Amen.
In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ, or we could say, let the word of truth
yes, that's right.
dwell in you, what?
Richly.
Richly.
Yes, yes.
That word richly is absolutely critical.
Yes.
That word is telling you what level to have the word dwelling on the inside of you.
Yeah, that's good.
If it's in you on a rich level, you're going to get rich level results.
Yeah, that's good.
If it's in you on a low level,
yeah,
you're going to get low level results.
Yeah.
Let it dwell in you on a rich, rich level. You know, the Bible says that the devil goes around as a roaring lion, seeing whom he can devour. I've done a lot of work in Africa, and I've been in lion territory, and I've seen those lions kill a water buffalo, kill a beautiful Thompson gazelle. But you know when that lion goes out and looks for his prey? Do you know what kind of prey he looks for? Mm-hmm. A weak prey.
That's right.
Why? Because it's easy to devour
a
weak prey. So the devil goes around like a roaring lion looking for Christians who have the word on a weak level.
Come on.
That's what determines if you're an easy prey, the level of the word that's on the inside of you. The devil is looking for weak Christians. If you don't want to be devoured, you make sure you get that word in you on a rich level.
Yeah.
It has to be in you on a rich level. How's it going to get there? You have to take time. It's your responsibility to take time, to spend time, to get that word in you on a rich, rich level.
Amen.
Go back to John in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 in verse 63. Don't you love the word? I mean, just it's line upon line and precept upon precept. When I was preaching in Ireland a few years ago, and there was a young girl that just got saved, and her first church service was at my meeting, and afterwards she came up to me and she said, "I had no idea the Word of God was so alive." Wow, it is alive. It is alive. In John chapter 6, verse 63, again, this is Jesus speaking. "It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing." Now listen to this. "The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit. They are spirit, and they are life." They are spirit, and they are life. If you were to accumulate all the books out of every library throughout the entire world, you would only find one that has been breathed with the breath of God. This has life into it. But it is spirit and life. Now, we know that when we worship the Lord, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I've had so many people come up to me and say, I'm confessing the word. But I tell them, are you confessing it between your mouth and your head or your mouth and your spirit? Because the word is spirit. So you have to have it in you on a rich level so that when you speak it, it comes from your spirit. And when you speak it from your spirit, then it becomes life. If you just, I'm confessing, but it's not coming from here, then there's no life in it. And people wonder, well, why isn't the word working? It has to come from the spirit because it is spirit. We commune spirit to spirit.
Yeah.
We connect spirit to spirit. So we have to get it in there on that rich level so that we speak it from our spirit. So that we're not saved and filled and defeated, but we're saved, filled, and triumphant.
That's right. So
there's no reason to be defeated.
That's right. So
you know, we have natural laws, we have spiritual laws, we have the law of gravity, we have the law of aerodynamics, and I praise God for the law of aerodynamics because I fly a lot. When they build airplanes, they build them very specifically and have very specific sizes of the wings of those airplanes. If you're on you've got a great big airplane, you're going to put great big wings on that airplane. If it's a little airplane, you put little wings on it. Otherwise, it's not going to be able to fly because it's off balance.
Right.
An airplane flies according to the law of aerodynamics. Science says that it should be impossible for a bumblebee to fly. because his wings are not the right size. He's off balance. But I love when God says he's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And he probably held that little bumblebee in the giant palm of his hand and says, "Bumblebee, I made you good. Now fly, baby, fly." Yeah. And that little bumblebee chose to believe the report of the Lord.
Yeah.
Whose report are you going to believe?
Yeah.
You have a choice. There's nothing impossible with God. I love what it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, this book of what? The law. This is the law. Just like aerodynamics supersedes or overrides the law of gravity, this book of the law overrides every report you could ever get from a doctor. This book of the law. So you have to have this law in you on a rich level. I love it. You know, we walk by faith and not by sight. Airplanes fly by the law of lift, not the law of gravity. So we walk by faith and not by sight.
That's
amen.
Right.
It's so critical. But the Word of God has to be in you on a rich level.
Yeah.
Rich level. And it has to be a lifestyle. It's not that you just confess the Word when you come to church on Sunday. It's not what you confess when you're in a counseling session or home cell group. It's what you say at midnight. All of a sudden, you're all alone in that room. It's dark, and fear wants to grip you because your body begins to scream out in pain. It's burning up with fever. That's where you're going to win or lose the battle.
Yeah.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? How's it in you? Pastor's on vacation. Pastor Michael's over at Fresh Oil Fellowship. So it's going to be up to you and God. See, that's where you're going to win or lose the battle. It's not going to be because the pastor's praying for you, your best friend, your spouse. Between you and God. So many times it's between you and your Heavenly Father. And he has so given you everything that you would ever need to be triumphant in him.
Right.
I'm going to ask my three helpers to come up here. And in a moment I'll ask the fourth one. But I want my first three again. Is this helping you tonight?
Yeah. So good.
Okay. Can y'all see? You probably can't see over there. We have spirit, soul, and body. Okay. When you go to a doctor for a physical examination, he's going to examine your house, this house right here. He's not going to examine your spirit. You're going in for a physical examination. So he's going to examine your house, whether it's the outside of the house or the inside of the house, but it's just the house. And he might say to you, "Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but you have malaria." He says, you have. If you're carnally minded, guess what? I've got malaria. Oh, gosh, I've got malaria. I've got to call everybody, have them pray for me because I have malaria. You see, you've taken ownership of that.
That's right.
If you're spiritually minded, you're going to say, okay, it's just my house that's sick. I'm not sick.
That's right.
My spirit cannot have malaria. It can't have cancer. Yeah. It can't have diabetes.
Yeah.
It can't have allergies. Can't even have a headache.
Amen.
Can't even have a headache. Only your house. That's why it's critical that you are spirit minded.
Yes.
Don't take ownership. If you time and time again, you will have what you say. Mark 11:23. You will have what you say. So sometimes you'll say, well, warfare is when your spirit and soul argue all the time. You get a negative report and you think, well, it is written, by his stripes I'm healed. But your soulish man, yeah, but the doctor said. Yeah, but God said. Yeah, but I don't feel so good. But God, yeah, but. But God, yeah, but. That's the person where the word's on a low level.
Right, yeah, right.
Got it on a low level. There's no yeah, buts in this book.
There
you go. No yeah, buts in the book. So you've got to understand. Sometimes I tell people, just take a deep breath. Seriously, sometimes it helps. Just take a deep breath two or three times. Remember what it says in Psalms 46:10. Just be still and know that I am God. Faith has a voice. Let faith speak, and it will override these emotions. And where sickness and disease was once a fact, the truth of healing can now manifest itself in that house that you are living in. But you have to have the word in you on a rich level.
Yeah.
Now, the beautiful thing is we have a helper.
Amen.
Romans 8:26. I want you just to look at that for just a moment. In Romans 8:26, it's almost promotion time, guys. In Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought. But he helps us. When you come into agreement with the Word of God that he inspired, he is going to now take hold with you with that agreement. He's coming together to work with you. So often when we pray, our prayers go in one of two directions. We're either asking the Lord to do something he's already done.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Or we're asking the Lord to do something he's told us to do.
Yeah.
It's usually one or the other. Now I'm going to ask my fourth person to come up here. Where's that fourth? I should have known. Bring your Bible, brother. Bring your Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to role play for just a moment. I'm going to let you stand in the front. I'm going to let you be, you know what, you're taller. Are you switch places?
Yes.
You don't mind, do you, sir? You don't mind. Okay. I'm going to let you be Jesus after the cross. I'm going to let you be the Holy Ghost. You get to be God. Wow. God for a day. God for a day. You shall be, stand right here in front of them, pillar of the church. So you got to be yourself. I will play the part of the devil because I don't want anybody to volunteer for that. We'd have to pray for you. So I'll play the devil. So one day, I'm sorry, what is your name?
Scott.
Scott. One day the devil attacks Scott with sickness and disease. So Scott turns to Jesus and he starts praying, Jesus, heal me. Oh, that's good. Jesus, heal me. But the devil just keeps coming at him. He's getting worse and worse. Jesus, heal me, heal me. Pretty soon the whole church is praying, but nothing's happening. He's saved, filled, defeated. Defeated. He's asking Jesus to do something he already did. See, Calvary was so well done in one act, it need never to be repeated. And then one day, because Scott is strong in the Word, he's reading the Word of God, and the eyes of his understanding are enlightened. And he reads in the Gospel of Luke 10:19, and the Lord says, Scott, I've given you authority to trample on serpents, on scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means will hurt you. So Scott looks at the devil, that spirit of infirmity, and he speaks to that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Spirit of infirmity, I pull you down from your position of authority. I break the power of assignment you have against me, for it is written.
Yes.
And he begins to speak from his spirit the word of truth, and that truth begins to come alive, and look what happens to Scott now. Holy Spirit, I'm sure you need to hold those for just a moment. Holy Spirit, put your hands on his shoulder. Stand over here, Scott. The Holy Spirit now takes hold together with his agreement. What is Scott doing? Now he's activating that power. That power was there the whole time he was defeated. But now he's activating that power. The Holy Spirit is taking hold together with him, with his agreement. He's going to give him that inner strength not to get weary in well-doing. He's going to keep praying in tongues so he builds himself up in his most holy faith, keeping himself strong. Now look what Jesus does. Jesus put both your hands on his shoulders. The Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for Scott. You know, I think we forget that every day Jesus is praying for us. I mean, thank you, thank you, thank you that Jesus prays for us every day. And Jesus, I don't know what Jesus is praying, but you can be sure he's got all the bases covered that we need. So now Jesus is praying for Scott. Now look what God does. God put both your hands on his shoulders. The Bible says that God looks over his word that Scott spoke from his spirit, and God puts life to it.
Right.
God looks over his word, and he performs it. Now look at Scott. For a while there, he was defeated. But now, and the devil looks at Scott, the devil does not see flesh and blood. The devil sees a spirit of life, of force, of authority. The devil looks at Scott and he sees all of heaven backing him up. He sees the whole armor of God, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit. The devil has absolutely no protection. And Scott speaks, I rebuke you. I command you to cease in Jesus' name. I give you no place. The Bible says you resist the devil, he shall flee. He has no options.
That's right.
But look, the victory now. All of heaven backing him up. Because he ignited the power that was already in him through the new birth.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, gentlemen. Do you see how important that is, that you have that word in you on a rich level? Because then it becomes alive. Otherwise, you're saved, failed, and defeated.
Yeah.
And yet the whole time, the power is there for you to be triumphant. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. You know, sometimes people say, well, Marilyn, I took my authority. I tried that. Let me just share something with you in closing. A number of years ago, when I was preaching in Africa, I was in a very remote area, very highly contaminated area, but I was taking the preventative for malaria. I was being bitten by many mosquitoes, but I was not concerned because I was on the preventative. I was there for a month, and the day that I got home, that very night, I came down with symptoms, and I immediately took authority over those symptoms. Now, the devil, only thing, well, Brother Hagin used to say, the only good thing you can say about the devil is he's good at what he does.
Yeah.
Kill, steal, and destroy. And he doesn't back off that easy. He wants to see if he can devour you. He's just going to double check how rich is that word in them.
Right,
just how rich is it?
Yeah.
Can I wear him down?
Yeah.
Don't let him wear you down.
Right.
And so I took authority over that. But after 2 days, I was still getting worse and worse. So like I said, it's not a lack of faith to go to the doctor. You're mixing wisdom with your faith.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm going to go to the doctor because if I can get more chloroquine, I can double up on the chloroquine and I can nip it in the bud.
Yeah.
I went to the doctor. He said, well, if you were on the preventative, then you don't have malaria. I said, well, I just know the symptoms, and so I'm just asking if you just give me some extra chloroquine. He said, no. Not if you don't have it, I'm not going to give it to you. You don't have malaria. He said, but I will run a blood test because perhaps you're just overly tired from being over there for a month and working so hard and doing evangelistic crusades and a medical clinic at the same time. So he took a blood test. But I did not know that he didn't know hardly anything about malaria. Malaria progresses very rapidly. It destroys your liver, your kidneys, your spleen, your blood. You're very, very nauseated. You're very sick. You have a very high fever. And so when he did the blood test, he didn't do it stat, in other words, where you get the results the next day. He just said whenever they had time for it, they could run the blood test. So the next day, I called, did you get the blood test back yet? No, Marilyn, but don't worry, you don't have malaria. Don't call me, he said. I'll call you. Well, the next day I was feeling worse. I thought, well, I'm going to call him anyway. I said, doctor, did you get the blood test back? No, not yet. But I told you, don't call me. I'll call you. Well, the next day I'm burning up with fever. Don't call me. I said, I'll call you. And the next day my body was so swollen and I had turned completely yellow. I was yellow on the inside, the outside, my eyes, my mouth, my throat. Everything about me had turned yellow because it's destroying my liver, my kidneys. I was hard as a rock. You could knock the door, you know. And I was horribly sick. I called my friend. I says, come and get me to the doctor now. I was so sick, I couldn't even get dressed. I went to the doctor's office with my robe and my slippers. And I looked so bad, they rushed me into a waiting room so I wouldn't frighten everybody. I said, well, that really makes me feel good, you know. And so the doctor came in and he said, wow, you are really yellow. He said, you must have hepatitis or something. But we don't know because we don't have the blood test back. So, Marilyn, don't worry. You just go back home. I told you I'll call you. By then, I'm so sick, I didn't even argue. He didn't even give me an aspirin. And my fever was over at that point, over 104. I went home. The next morning, the doctor called. He said, Marilyn, we're going to send an ambulance to your house because not only do you have malaria, you have two forms of malaria at the same time. And I've already contacted a disease specialist. He's looked at your blood work, which is now a week old, and he said it's the worst he's ever seen. Get to the hospital now. I got there. The disease specialist said, well, now you need quinine, and we don't have any. And this was before the internet, so they have to dial one hospital after another to find quinine. It took them over a day. They finally got the quinine. I was on it for 3 days, and I could tell myself it wasn't working. The disease specialist came in to tell me, he said, Marilyn, I'm so sorry to tell you, but you are dying. And if you want to say goodbye to your family, you have to do it now, not this afternoon. That's pretty close.
Yeah.
He took the phone and he set it at my side. And I thought, now God did not heal me of cancer so I could die of malaria.
He
said, no, no, I give no place to that. And I fell asleep, and I woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I thought, I'm still breathing. Therefore, and every day, I had taken authority, and I thought, I can still take my authority. Even though I'm so weak, I can hardly speak at this point, let me tell you something. Your victory is never determined by the volume of your shout.
That's right.
It's determined by the power that's on the inside
here.
And I wanted the devil to see me sitting up. And I took a hold of the support bars on the side of my bed, and I forced myself to sit. It took me a long time, but I got up and I sat up, and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, spirit of a malaria, I break your hold. And then I just fell back in bed from exhaustion. But this is a copy of my medical report. This says Marilyn Neubauer, July 15, 1986. It says, this patient is dying. These are the facts. Psalms 118, verse 17 says, this patient shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. I fell back in bed from exhaustion and 3 days later walked out of the hospital.
Hallelujah.
I don't care how close you are, if you're still breathing, you can take your authority.
Yes.
But I want to encourage you to get the word in you on a rich, rich level. And get so rooted and grounded, like it says in Ephesians chapter 3:16, that God would grant unto you the spirit of, not of revelation, the knowledge of him, but that you would be strengthened in might by God's spirit in your inner man.
Yes.
And to know the love of Christ that passes all knowledge. If you can stay under the umbrella of his love, everything else that you will ever need is underneath that umbrella. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for your holy written word. We thank you, Father God, that healing is our covenant, that it belongs to us. I thank you, Lord, and I pray tonight that your word takes deep root into each and every one of our hearts. Lord, that will never be the same again. And Lord, if there's anybody here tonight, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, not only not as your healer, but you don't even know him as your Savior. If you're here tonight, maybe you're just visiting here for the first time, but you know that if you were to die tonight, you're not sure if you would go to heaven. But that is the greatest miracle that you could ever have, that your spirit would come alive to the Spirit of God. It's such a simple prayer. All you have to do is believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. If you believe that and you've never prayed that prayer, I want to pray with you tonight, because once again, that's the greatest. You've never prayed that prayer, I want you just to lift up your hand really quickly so I can see you. Don't ever let that moment pass you by. There was a man one time that attended one of the meetings of Reinhard Bonnke. He'd been resisting the devil, time and time again. But that night, he came forward to ask Jesus into his heart. And when he turned around to go take his seat, he took 3 steps and dropped dead. He almost missed heaven by 3 steps. Don't let the moment pass you by. Is anybody here at all? Or maybe you've prayed that prayer, but you've drifted away, and you can sense the Holy Spirit is just wooing you back tonight. If that's you, just lift up your hand. Anybody here at all? Everybody here tonight is saved. I want to encourage you to bring people to church that you know that they're not going to heaven. Bring people, because Jesus so loves them. We don't want to stand before the Lord someday and say, well, Lord, I didn't bother to invite them. But tonight, if you're here, if you've got pain in your body, sickness, disease, and you would like me to pray for you, I would be so honored to do that. So we're going to open up these altars. And if you want prayer tonight for sickness or for pain, I'm going to ask you to just come up here quickly. I would pray with you. Anybody at all? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Anybody at all? You have any kind of pain or something? I mean, you might think, well, I've already been prayed for. And it's not a lack of faith. What we would do tonight is just reinforce what's already been prayed. Hallelujah. Just going to reinforce it. That you would just an extra boost. Sometimes we just need that extra boost. Amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus is the healer. I'm not the healer. But we're just vessels for his power to flow through. So you focus on Jesus. Just close your eyes. If you've got pain in your body, if you can put your hand over that pain. But I want you to do something first. We're going to together take authority over that infirmity that's in your body. So I'm going to just lead you in a prayer. And I want you, with everything that is in you, you take authority over that infirmity. This is your responsibility. Amen. And then I will lay hands on you and pray with you. But pray this with me. And if you know what, if you want to name the situation, or we'll just call it that spirit of infirmity. Amen. So repeat this after me. Spirit of infirmity. And say it with all your heart. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
I take authority over you.
I take authority over you.
I pull you down from your position of authority.
I pull you down from your position of authority.
And I break the power of assignment you have against me.
I break the power of assignment you have against me.
For it is written.
For it is written.
By the stripes of Jesus.
By the stripes of Jesus.
I am healed.
I am healed.
Now be whole in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The name, it's above all other names. The name of Jesus. Be thou made whole. Fear, you have to go. You have to go. In Jesus' name. Pain. Be gone. Be gone. Be thou made whole, spirit, soul, and body, in the name, it's above all other names, the name of Jesus. Be thou made whole, in the name, it's above all other names, the name of Jesus. Lord, may they be whole, spirit, soul, body, financially and socially. We thank you, Father. We thank you that you are the healer. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. So I just want to encourage you, get the Word of God in you on a rich, rich level. Take time to spend time with Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor, I'll turn back over to you. Hallelujah.
Folks, let's just go ahead and praise the Lord. Go ahead and bring our materials back to you. Mr. Jesus. Praise God. Let's just worship the Lord. Father, we bless you tonight. We glorify you. Father, we thank you that we never lack. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. Father, we thank you for instruction. Father, we receive it. And we just bless you and we glorify you. Father, you're so good. We love you. And Father, we just show our appreciation. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We praise you. And we worship you. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, we were so helped here tonight. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Dr. Neubauer, for ministering faithfully. Amen. Just such awesome instruction. Don't you just love the teacher's office? You see that, and you walk out of church, you know exactly what to do. I got so much help here tonight. I know you did. Amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, I want to remind you tonight, we're going to be taking up a love offering tonight for Dr. Marilyn Neubauer. Just go ahead and find an offering envelope there at your seat. All offerings, if you're making out checks tonight, feel free to make those out to Family Church. We will then take all the offering tonight. It'll go directly to Dr. Marilyn and her ministry. And so awesome that this ministry goes all over the world, being a blessing to so many people. So how many of you know that it's not just one person or a ministry that's being touched, but we're going all over the place because we get to go with Dr. Neubauer as she goes. Amen. Praise the Lord as we give and support a ministry that travels. Praise God. So go ahead, find an offering envelope there. Make it out. If you're making out checks, go ahead and make that out to Family Church. If you're giving with cash, please make sure you fill out your offering envelope completely. Folks, do not forget that Dr. Neubauer has a book table out there in the narthex. Many, just filled with so many wonderful materials. I tell you what, I got to get me one of those shower hangers. You know, that's awesome. Praise the Lord. I've never seen anything like that before. Amen. That's going to be good. Amen. You know, you're just in the shower and you got your zestfully clean going on. Get the word going in there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Are you ready to give here tonight? Praise the Lord. Let's just go ahead and stand up before God. Let's give with joy. Amen. Know that we're giving into good ground. And we know when our seed hits good ground, harvest is imminent. It's not likely, it's not maybe or probably, it is imminent when we give into good ground. Father, we thank you for the good ground that we get to sow into tonight. Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, Lord God. Father, we say that every need that Dr. Neubauer has, Father, we say it is met in Jesus' name. Father, we declare abundance comes to her and to her ministry. Father, we say that her cup runneth over. Father, she's overflowing in the abundance of God, the abundance of joy, the abundance of finances, the abundance of health, abundance of strength, abundance of peace. Father, we thank you that your blessings come upon us and overtake us, Father God. We praise you tonight. We glorify you. And Father, we give with joy. And Father, we say harvest is imminent. Father, we thank you. We expect a return on our seed. And Father, we all say together, but my God shall supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I will not lack. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Hallelujah. Well, we've been fed so well here tonight. Amen. Folks, just a reminder, if you have children in the nursery,